Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Aspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And I'm very glad to say that Dr. Bruce Piechecki is back with us on the show. Bruce is the president and the founder of the American Hazard Control Group, which is a management consulting firm specializing in energy policy and other areas, leadership in those areas. He's written a number of books over the years, including the one I'm holding in my hand, The Surprising Solution, Creating Possibility in a Swift and Severe World. And he's our friend. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thank you for calling me a friend, and I really like your webpage and audience.
I appreciate that. Yeah, my audience is, they're heroes as far as I'm concerned. I know you agree with me. One of the things, Bruce, that's an area that you work in a lot is something that I'm very much concerned about, though, for our heroes, and that is the ability to continue to sustain themselves, to keep themselves, their businesses open with so much pressure on costs. It seems like a lot of the policy issues that are being debated right now have one thing in common, and that is that they're going to drive our costs up. And at a time when we're trying to recover from the Great Recession, we don't need our costs to go up because, Bruce, we can't raise our prices. One thing my economists report to me every month, the economists that we have at our Brain Trust, is that no small business has any pricing power. But if our expenses go up, like for energy and for healthcare and things like that, if that goes up and if our taxes goes up, that just puts an extra squeeze on our business, and it puts us in peril. And I'm worried about that. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Jim, that's what my new book is centered on. The Surprising Solution is about how do you create possibility in a context where, when you're a small business owner, as I am since 1981. You really feel that increase in healthcare costs. You know, I'll hire an economist from a great school, and one-fourth of their initial salary is burnt by healthcare.
Right.
This new book is, since I'm the guy who first wrote about climate change back in 1990 for Simon & Schuster and got on a White House council with Al Gore and then Reagan's people, I can tell you from the inside that the pressure on carbon is very significant.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, for instance, I go to the National Press Club to talk about succeeding in a carbon and capital constraint world. And so I want to talk to you about a metaphor for your listeners to think about as they struggle with those honest increasing pressures on health and possibly carbon. Here's the way to think of it. When I was a kid, maybe less than 30 years ago, high jumps and the Olympics were limited by the length of the pole and the length of the individual athlete jumping.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember how not long after, when everybody thought we had reached the limit of innovation, someone decided to do the flop, jumping
right
backwards.
Yeah.
Well, in many ways, if you think
that... That's back in the 70s. What was what's the guy's name? Bruce?
Yeah.
Was his name Bruce, too?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I remember...
The Fosley Flop, I think it's called.
Yeah, there it is.
Something
the flop.
Like Fosley.
I remember that experience,
yeah.
And I remember what it meant to me.
I can see that jump in my mind.
There
right
you
now.
Go. So if you think of it as a small business owner, you know you're going to be smashed by the pressure of healthcare. You know you're going to be smashed by the increased responsibilities of carbon. And you probably even know you're going to be smashed by the increased rate of capital constraint.
Right.
So those are the three...
Which includes taxation.
Right. Now,
yeah.
The regulation. Second fundamental is, as you're with that pole in hand, let's think of the pole as your company, the particular leverage you have over the market.
Mm-hmm.
As you're running as fast as you can with your debt load and with your strength of leadership and with the strength of your team, the first thing you should know in the competition is that the clock on bad leadership is near midnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if if you witness Obama's ascent on this unprecedented amount of government intervention, if you witness how Goldman Sachs complicated the loans for Greece, where I visited on my new book,
right,
and if you witness the new Asian ascent of other economies, we're kind of in a two-speed economy, where the Asian folks are ascending, as we're only growing 2%.
Mm-hmm.
My book, The Surprising Solution, is how to push that pole, change your configuration, and innovate for a more efficient product, for a product that costs less per unit of production, for a product that the public is ready to clap for
And these are all things that a small business can accomplish, too, aren't they?
Totally. And one of the things that I really like about your brain trust and your motivational minute is that it kind of is an Olympic contest for small business right now.
Oh, there's no question about it. It's a Herculean effort that they're going through right now. Bruce, hold on to that thought. Folks, Dr. Bruce Piasecki is our guest, and his book is called The Surprising Solution. He and I'll be back after these messages. 20 Tales. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff you can do there to help you with your small business. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Dr. Bruce Piasecki is our guest. Bruce is the author of The Surprising Solution. And Bruce, tell us how we can find your book.
Yeah, you can go to Amazon.com or Borders.com, or even better, go to an independent small bookstore.
Yeah, and your own website?
My firm is called the American Hazard Control Group, so the website is ahcgroup.com.
ahcgroup.com, so check it out, folks, and look for Bruce's book. Bruce, we were talking about the carbon, the challenges that we've got, the pressures on our costs, that are coming, and you're convinced that we're going to have some control, some regulation, some taxing, commoditization of some kind of carbon in our future, aren't you?
I'm convinced of five real politic things that I'll go over real quick. The Securities and Exchange Commission passed a disclosure requirement on carbon that has great financial consequence to small business. And it will be contested, but it's there under Obama.
The SEC?
Yeah, the Securities and Exchange Commission got into the act January 26th.
And what was the SEC doing with carbon? What are they doing?
Exactly. That's why it's significant. There's a multiple billion dollar initiative of social responsibility investment people that have pressured the Obama administration and other governments to do what's called in the last 5 years a carbon project. So just as, you know, for the longest time, stockholders and investors didn't need to worry about carbon because it wasn't a material impact. It could not be perceived as a material impact in the value of a stock. That's about to change with this new SEC requirement. I think a second thing your listeners probably need to know in America is that 17 or more of the states have already passed a renewable energy portfolio requirements. So, for example, one of my clients and one of my long-term corporate affiliates in California hosted Governor Schwarzenegger, a moderate Republican, to come forward, and he's increased the amount of renewable requirements for the state to 30% by 2020.
Yeah.
Now, that increase happened partially because there are companies out there in California that have lots of land to make into renewables, and that's why they did that. But they did that in 17 other states so far.
Don't forget, too, the EPA has ruled that carbon dioxide is a dangerous gas.
Right. Now, I was on many EPA advisory boards, both their executive committee in the 90s and also on what's called their NACEP board.
Yeah.
And then finally, I was appointed, even though I'm not a lawyer, on their Effluent Guidelines Task Force board. So during those 20 years of serving an agency where I was trying to make it business smart, business friendly, which is, you know, an uphill battle, I essentially learned that EPA will be sued on Obama's requirement.
And they should be.
Nonetheless, the fact that it's issued for public content is something all smart small businessmen will and women will relate to. Now, the two biggest of the things I want to talk to you about, small business should probably take a sigh of relief to realize that in the last few weeks since Copenhagen, the cap-and-trade deals are probably dead.
Yeah.
The Waxman, you know, Markey bill, all the related composite bills that are trying to replicate what's gone on in Europe are probably, for sure, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the benefit of that is that would probably have favored big business at the cost of small business, and it would have favored the Wall Street transactional people who do all the trading.
The people who find a way to win, whether the market's going left or right, up or down.
Right. Now, the real politic is, and one of the reasons I'm talking at the National Press Club noon on Tuesday next week and then at 10 on Wednesday, is that things have gotten very hot again regarding political attention to carbon tax. Now, I believe that that's the fifth variable, just like renewable energy portfolios are likely to pass. Doesn't mean that science is establishment, doesn't mean that we'll never revise it. What it means is it's a real political development. The same is with the carbon tax. If you just analyze the three giants that have come in as of Monday on the issue saying they have a fast-tracked bill, it's presidential aspirant John Kerry from Massachusetts. It's a moderate, interesting Republican Graham from South Carolina. And it's also the guy who's forever good at finding the middle, and that's Lieberman.
One of my heroes. Joe Lieberman is one of my heroes.
So when you get those guys behind it, and you look at the fact that what the bill is essentially, what it looks like to me is it's a bill that's more sensible than cap and trade. It takes me back to when I was a lobbyist and when I wrote my first book, Beyond Dumping, and my second book, America's Future in Hazardous Waste Management. During the 80s, when I was really involved in D.C., there were lots of ambitious, unlikely bills about what to do with Love Canal and hazardous waste management. And the way the system works is to seek the best reliable economic information with the best reliable scientific information and push the wave of law up. We did it in civil rights. People have
Bruce, excuse me, I've got to go to a break. You're saying that even though some of the more outlandish fringe approaches to climate change legislation, to carbon restriction legislation, is probably dead, you're saying the tide, the momentum, the critical mass is building toward ultimately having restrictions on carbon.
I can see the white crest of the wave.
That's
near
what he's
the shore.
Talking about, folks. We may be winning a battle here or there. He thinks the war is still going on and it's moving not in favor of those of us who aren't so interested in restricting carbon. Tintail, stay with us. Right back with Bruce Piasecki. Stay with us.
I'm alone in the dark.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. Having a great visit with our good friend and our Brain Trust member, Dr. Bruce Piasecki, the author of the new book, The Surprising Solution. Very important, folks. This is a book that you and I need to know about as we operate our businesses. Folks, small business owners, we cannot be obtuse. We cannot be naive about the tide that's moving across planet Earth about what to do about carbon. What are we going to do about it? Now, thankfully, Bruce, to me, it seems that the fringe elements are being pushed back. But you're telling us that the tide is rising in the direction of some kind of restrictions. And, Bruce, let me tell you something. I have never been against that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been against it. What I've been against is doing it so fast and so abruptly and by government fiat without the market really being involved, the marketplace, and I don't mean the stock market. I'm talking about the Main Street, the economy. Without the market economy being involved in the solution, that's what I've been against all along. And the thing is, Bruce, I'm going to say something. I want to see if you agree with me. In the last 20 years, American businesses, the American economy has done a great job of becoming more carbon efficient than any other nation on the planet. If you look at how much carbon we use per dollar of GDP, we are the most carbon efficient on the planet, and we're not getting credit for that. What do you think?
Well, that's a key insight, and I think it's an accurate trend. So the fundamental is, because we've done that, that proves that we're getting the green code that Friedman talks about. And it proves, in my book, The Surprising Solution, that we're becoming Ben Franklin all over again. We are very innovative. And the thing I like about this new development, where the fringe has been reduced, where the in a sense, the radical extreme of regulation, this whole Lieberman, and I'm not an advocate for it because I'm no longer a lobbyist, but I need to let you know that the Lieberman-Kerry-Graham legislation, as it appears today, does a really smart thing for the economy. If it taxes carbon modestly, it then collects a trust of money that's relegated to transportation infrastructure so that the money will be recycled.
How can we know, Bruce?
Yeah.
Our government has a terrible record of filching that money and spending it on other things. How in the world would anybody believe that money was going to be used as it was designed?
It's a great concern, and you know that's why we have to be vigilant with corporate leaders as well as government leaders, but I think it's the only way to outsmart our fear of the future, in the sense that we can jump higher, just like that flop showed us, and we can succeed by being more efficient. The last 20 years verify that. That's why you have GE creating $20 billion worth of revenue in the Eco-Imagination Project. That's why my Warren Buffett client is making more carpet and more flooring with less energy consumption, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got a commitment to the government that we made voluntarily, this is Shore Industries, to reduce its energy intensity 25% in the next 10 years. Well, that means you take the good that you noticed, Jim, across the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and improve it again. So it is a fundamental need of manufacturing businesses, small, medium, large. And what I want your folks to think about is that there's some interesting Obama developments that I didn't expect that are interesting. So, for example, the appointment of 27 chief sustainability officers in the federal government, so that it sounds bureaucratic, it sounds like it's another czar, but the whole idea of making EPA have a sustainability person, what's going to sustain business, not just regulate business? I want you to know, Jim, I've advocated that since the Newt Gingrich 104th
right.
Congress. The idea of appointing in our federal purchasing units, the large general, you know, operational units that spend the $3.4 trillion, to have a sustainability advocate within there makes sense. So what's the surprising solution in my book is that we still have room to innovate. Let me mm-hmm. give you one concrete example.
Quickly, 30 seconds. I got 30 seconds.
Yeah. You know, there are some people that are happy in receiving, my wife, for instance, one red rose rather than a dozen roses.
Right.
Sometimes you can charge more for that one red rose. So business needs to start thinking in an innovative way about innovation again.
Well, one thing we've got to do, folks, is we've got to face the reality, and also, folks, we've got to get involved. Because
yes.
this is impacting you and me. The people who are passing these laws and making these regulations need to know what you and I think about this, because this is something that's going to affect our future very much in our business. By the way, Bruce, that's the Fosbury flop.
Yes, it is.
And his name was Dick Fosbury. I remember that now. Hey, thanks for being here, Bruce. Good job. I'm going to see you next week.
We look forward to seeing you in Washington.
We'll be in Washington together. See you then. Thanks, Bruce. Dr. Bruce Piasecki, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called The Surprising Solution. Check it out. Got to go for this hour. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.